بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين، إنه خير ناصر ومعين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so many blessings by being able to experience these many days and nights of the holy month Ramadan. Indeed, when we look back, we see so many things that Allah gave to us, so many opportunities. On one hand, we feel that, oh Allah, with so many opportunities, did I make the most of them? Did I do everything that you had called me to do in this month? Did I take part in this divine banquet to the extent and that way that you wanted me to take part in it? But on the other hand, we look at the infinite mercy and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're very hopeful that as Eid inshallah approaches in a couple of days, that we can inshallah have an Eid gift from Him that will be more, of course, than we deserve, but more appropriate to His mercy and to His love rather than according to our own actions during this holy month. And given that the holy month is drawing to an end, it's appropriate for me to just acknowledge the efforts of all those who have volunteered their time in putting together these programs, because this inshallah will be the last evening I'll be with you. So I'd like to acknowledge everyone who's in any way helped out, whether it's been through donations, whether it's been through their time and their efforts. Those people who have been working tirelessly in the kitchens, or serving, or organizing, or AV, or media, or all the other departments that make Saba and Saba's programs run. I'd like to acknowledge all of them, and also my host during these couple of weeks, Brother Farid Himmati and his family, who have been very gracious and hospitable hosts to me. Please acknowledge their efforts with a loud salawat. I was very pleased last night, yesterday evening, to have gotten the opportunity to see the Saba Academy. And in my opinion, this is one of the most important things that this community could have established. And I really pray that the entire community supports this efforts with their du'as and with their contributions. Indeed, inshallah, if with the sincere intentions that I see with the team that they put into place, inshallah, I'm hoping that this will become the leading Islamic school in the entire country within a number of years, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, we've been talking about, the discussion was about the topic of fear and hope. And we talked about how, when it comes to the Islamic perspective, there are some things that we should be scared about. There's some things that we should be worrying about. But there's other things that people worry about that we shouldn't worry about. So we said, for example, that those things that we need to worry about are things like our deeds. Because we know ourselves, we know that what we could do, and we should always be in a state of worry and trepidation and fear with regards to what we could do. And so we always are in a state of praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, give me the power لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. All power comes from you to be able to obey you and to not disobey you. So give me that power, extend your grace to me so I can continue being a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're actually fearing ourselves. And this is something that is good from the Islamic perspective. But there are other things that people fear which a person of faith should not be fearing. And as an inspiration for this, we were looking at the story of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, and we saw how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a point of mentioning situations where Nabi Musa alayhi salam was scared, where he was fearful, and how we can learn lessons from those. Yesterday we talked about two such incidents and we explained various points about them. Today we want to continue inshallah by mentioning a few other places in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Nabi Musa alayhi salam's fear and the lessons that we can draw from that. Please recite a salawat. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. This is from Surah Taha. Surah Taha, by the way, those who study the Quran, you'll note that this surah is a very special surah. There's something very magical about the words of this surah, the way that it's organized, the expressions that are made in terms of linguistic and stylistic beauty. All the surahs and all the verses of the Quran are beautiful, but there are some which are distinguished beyond the others, and Surah Taha is one of those. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is what took place. He tells Musa and Harun, اذهب أنت وأخوك بآياتي ولا تنيا في ذكري اذهبا إلى فرعون إنه طغى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this first conversation that he's having with Nabi Musa, where he's now opening up this dimension of knowledge and experience to Nabi Musa, it's not just that to tell Musa, oh Musa, I'm your Lord and this is your staff, but he has a task for Nabi Musa. He's giving him a responsibility. He's telling him that your job now is to go with your brother, اِذْهَبَا إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ تَغَىٰ فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرَ أَوْ يَخْشَىٰ. He's telling him and his brother, go to Fir'aun and try to convince him of the truth. Indeed he has rebelled, but speak to him in a soft manner. Perhaps he will take admonition or fear. Now this has now become something which is wajib on Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Because Allah is commanding him. A command is wajib on the servant to obey. But what type of command is it? Most times when one power wishes to go against another power and they're going to be aggressive about it, they're going to tell them to change something fundamental, they're going to do so with a lot of armies and a lot of like people and ammunition, and then they're going to go up against another army. But here, Nabi Musa and Harun, these are two people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to be his army. An army of two people who are going to go up against the reigning power of the time, the dictator of the land, the Pharaoh. So, obviously, clearly, Nabi Musa alayhi salam at this point and his brother are a bit concerned. But we have to understand, what is this concern about? What is this fear stemming from? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them as being fearful. قَالَ رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا نَخَافُ أَن يَفْرُطَ عَلَيْنَا أَوْ أَن يَطْغَى. The two of them say that, oh my Lord, oh our Lord, we're scared. We're afraid that He will forestall us or that He will overstep the bounds. Forestalling, how is that going to be the case? For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has just given these miracles to Nabi Musa, the staff and then the hand, which when he draws it out of his coat, then it's white and shining. This is a miracle. If Fir'aun doesn't even give them an audience, if he just commands that they be exiled or they be assassinated before they're even given an audience, then they won't have a chance to even show Fir'aun these miracles. Or even if they are given that chance, then maybe Fir'aun will react by being even more cruel and being more harsh. Those who are already enslaved, Fir'aun will do even more torture to them. So this is the worry that Nabi Musa and Harun have, and they're fearful over this. So how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respond? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ لَا تَخَافَ إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. He says, do not be fearful, don't worry. Indeed, I am with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am with you and I hear and I see. Now, when we look at this example of this fear, we have to ask ourselves, what is it stemming from? Is it the case that Nabi Musa and Fir'aun are scared of Nabi Musa and Harun are scared of Fir'aun? Are they shaking in their boots at the thought of having to stand in front of the Pharaoh of the time? Is that where the fear is stemming from? No. We have to read the verses of the Quran carefully. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us? Allah has tasked them with a mission. It's now wajib on them, this duty. Their concern is, are we going to be able to fulfill the duty that God has been put on us? Because now it's wajib on them. And they're concerned, as servants of Allah, they want to commit and they want to be able to say to Allah, "Oh Allah, we're going to do what you tell us to do." But they're fearful that they might not be able to. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a solution to their problem. He says, "Don't worry about it. Innani ma'akuma asma'u wa ara. I'm with you, I hear and I see." When we look at this, we have to ask ourselves, okay, once Nabi Musa alayhis-salam is given this knowledge, he's given this assurance, is it just something verbal? Is it just something that Nabi Musa hears and then he feels good about it and then goes home and then forgets about it? Sometimes we come to lectures and we're like, wow, it's such a good lecture. The speaker said so many things and I really enjoyed it. And then we go home and then as we're kind of leaving the center, every mile that we travel, it just, the experience kind of fades and fades, and then by the next day, it's like back to normal again. But there's some knowledge that we take and then we can apply and build on it and then change ourselves as people because of that knowledge that we got. So we see that Nabi Musa alayhis-salam, once he is revealed this knowledge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he puts it into practice. It's very beautiful. If we go to another place in the Quran, which is in Surah Ash-Shu'ara, Surah number 26, verse number 61. Here, Nabi Musa alayhis salam is in a very tough situation. Very difficult situation. On one hand, he has now taken all of the Bani Israel and they have left Egypt and they have now arrived at the bank of the Nile River. But Pharaoh and his army found out, and there behind them, they've now caught up to them. In front of them, there's a river which is so vast and so expansive that the Quran refers to it as a sea, because there's such a wide gap between one shore and the other shore. So they're stuck between, as they say, the frying pan and the fire, as they say in English. They're stuck between the river and the army of Pharaoh. Now this is a case where most people will despair. Most people will be fearful, they'll be concerned. But in this case, the companions of Nabi Musa, they try to tell him that, okay, now we're stuck, now we're at a loss. But what does he tell them? He says that, "Kalla, kalla, certainly not. Inni ma'inna ma'ayya rabbi sayahdeen. With me, I have with me my Lord, and He will guide me." And at that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him. He tells him, "Cast your staff," and then the river parts, and then they cross, and then it crashes down on the army of Fir'aun. So Nabi Musa alayhis salam takes this advice and this knowledge to heart. Now when we look at this story, it tells us something. It tells us that sometimes we have fear of something that we should not have fear of. And that fear that we have sometimes is the fear of being able to, whether or not we're going to be able to perform our duties. Are we going to be able to practice Islam the way we ought to practice it, given the climate that we're in? We talked about this. There's problems that we're facing. Economic problems. Am I going to be able to practice Islam in the face of these economic problems? Or am I going to have to stoop to the point where I lose hope? I become despondent. I become depressed. I need to go after careers that aren't halal. Am I going to be able to practice Islam given the political climate? Or am I going to be too fearful and too concerned to observe the hijab, to wear the beard, to act like Muslim, to establish those centers, to have programs outside of the center, to call other people to the faith? This type of fear is unfounded. Nabi Musa and Harun are told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if you are doing your duty, I'm there with you. Innani ma'akuma asma'u wa ara. Now, sometimes people wonder, okay, what can we do? This is an idea, this is something that we read about in the Quran, but how can I bring it and capture it and actually apply it in my life? It's a very simple thing that we are told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Ahlul Bayt, that if you wish to take a piece of knowledge and then bring it into your practice, what you have to do first of all is learn that point. So we learn that, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-seeing and all-hearing, and He's capable of taking care of us in any circumstance. He's in charge of the world. We know that. Number two, we believe in it. Because sometimes people know something but they don't really believe in it. We bring it to our hearts. Fine. Number three, we pay attention to it. We pay attention to it. So whenever this comes, this feeling comes in our throat. Maybe we read some news, some event takes place, and then we start feeling worried. We start feeling scared. Whenever that comes about, we have to pay attention to the presence of God and say that, "Kalla inna ma'i Rabbi sayahdin." Or we say that, "Innani ma'akum asma'u wa ara." We remember these things we learned from the Quran. And we say that, no, Allah is with us. The only thing I have to be fearful about is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever may come in the form of challenges that may come up, in the form of difficulties, I can take care of those. Because I'm worrying about myself, I'm worrying about doing my duty, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of the rest. Peace and salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. In another place in the Quran, we see how Nabi Musa once again is fearful. In Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes what happens when the magicians face off against Nabi Musa. The magicians of Fir'aun's court. They ask Nabi Musa, they say, "Should we cast our rods, our staffs first, or are you going to cast?" And he tells them, "You cast your rods first." So they cast them down, and apparently what they're able to do with sleight of hand and with just plain magical tricks is something quite amazing. And people are very impressed by this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says that what they did was very great considering their own level. He says that that when they cast their rods down, this is verse number 116 in Surah Al-A'raf, Surah number 7, سَحَرُوا أَعْيُنَ النَّاسِ وَاسْتَرْهَبُوهُمْ وَجَاءُوا بِسِحْرٍ عَظِيمٍ. When they cast their rods down, they bewitched the people's eyes and they overawed them. Everyone was very impressed by what they had done. And they produced a tremendous magic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they did tremendous magic. And Nabi Musa alayhi salam is looking at this. He's seeing that happen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes what happens. In Surah Taha, Surah number 20, verse number 67. فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةً مُوسَى فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةً مُوسَى قُلْنَا لَا تَخَفْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْأَعْلَى. Then Musa alayhi salam felt a fear within his heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him that, no, don't fear. Indeed, you are going to be the superior one. You're going to overcome. Now what is this fear right here? This fear that Nabi Musa alayhi salam has, again, we have to read the Quran carefully. The words that are used here, فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِ خِيفَ, it means that Nabi Musa alayhi salam felt a slight tremble of fear that came and passed through. Not that he became very scared or he was frightful. Not that, na'udhu billah, he was concerned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't help him. No, he's beyond that. Not that he was scared that his staff and his power that Allah had granted him will not be able to overcome the magicians. No. He had a slight fear of field because he saw the greatness of the magic that had taken place. And then he was worried about something. He was fearful about something. What was he fearful about? If we really want to know, we can look at what Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam says about this incident. It's very interesting. Now, Imam Ali salam, in Nahj al-Balagha itself, in one of his sermons, he brings up this incident right here, and he wants to show what is meant by Allah's words here. He wants to explain it to us. He says, it's reported that he says that Nabi Musa alayhi salam never feared for himself at that point, that Fir'aun was going to get him or he wasn't going to be able to be successful. No. Imam alayhi salam says that, but he was concerned about that the ignorant people would be fooled by this sleight of hand, and that the government of the government of oppression and the dalal, the government of wrongdoing, and the government of error would continue its reign. So what he's concerned about is the people. Because he saw what these magicians had done. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him that no. He assures him that no. قُلْنَا لَا تَخَفْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْأَعْلَىٰ. You are indeed the one who is superior. Now, in the next verse in Surah Al-Taha, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes what happens next after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assures him, there's a very deep lesson for us to learn. It's very beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him that after he tells him, don't worry, and then he says, وَأَلْقِ مَا فِي يَمِينِكَ تَلْقَفْ مَا صَنَعُوا. So throw down what is in your right hand, it will swallow what they have conjured. Throw it down, it will swallow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is setting down a general rule here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is setting down a general rule. He's saying that if you do, perhaps somebody could say this, that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to say, that if you do what I'm telling you to do, if you follow Islam, then whatever they may conjure up, whatever they can come up with, we will overcome that. We'll take care of it. There's no cause for fear, there's no cause of worry about what the people will think, what the people will do. And here, my brothers and sisters, I believe there's a very powerful lesson for us. When we see the tides changing, when previously, when people used to be respectful, but now they're becoming disrespectful. Now when they're becoming openly bigoted against Islam, and we're thinking, how is it going to be the case that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will spread His light? When is it the case that this promised Savior will come and guide the humanity to justice and righteousness? Maybe that worry comes to our mind, we have to say that no. أَلْقِي مَا فِي يَمِينِكَ. We do our job, تَلْقَفْ مَا صَنَعُوا. Then we will overcome what they may conjure up. They may conjure up Quran burning sessions. You know about this, right? That there's a pastor who leads this very deviant church of just 50 people, but he's grabbed international headlines by saying that on the anniversary of September 11th, he's going to burn Qurans. Okay, fine. Right? We can do what we want, and we can do what we should in terms of educating people about the Qur'an, about the sanctity of the Qur'an, speaking up against this, etc., spreading, using this to our advantage, using this as a source of education. But at the end of the day, if this pastor thinks that by burning Qur'ans, Muslims are going to be scared of practicing Islam, then we have to tell him to think again. Because we have the Qur'an with us, and this is a Qur'an that we read and we actually apply to our daily lives. And the Qur'an tells us, وَأَلْقِ مَا فِي يَمِينِكَ تَلْقَفْ مَا صَنَعُوا. Whatever they want to conjure up in terms of batil, in terms of what's not truth, we have confidence, we have yaqeen that the truth will prevail. This is the promise of God. And there's no cause for us to ever, ever be fearful about that. We're assured that this earth will be inherited by the righteous. We're assured that the Imam al-Islam is in charge of the affairs. We're assured that he's taking care of us. What room is there to be fearful for? This person, if he really wanted to take down Islam, if he really was opposed to Islam, then we should invite him to read the Holy Book. Read it and see. The Quran itself suggests a way for the enemies of Islam. If you really want to bring down Islam, then there's only one way, and it's through the Quran. But burning it isn't going to do anything. The Quran says itself that if you don't think that this is the truth, then produce something like it. Even produce one chapter, like a chapter of the Quran, and that's it. We will come and we'll submit. We'll agree that Islam is not to be true. That's the way if you want to do it. But he can't do that. So he has to promote falsehood and take these scare tactics to see what he can do. But we say that no, that's not going to be successful. We can stand firm with confidence that whatever they do, تَلْقَفْ مَا صَنَعُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power, His knowledge, His being there is going to swallow and overcome anything that they may try. To say salawat ala Muhammad. The last incident I'd like to cover is from Surah Al-Qasas, the same surah that we were covering in the early days of the speeches. Here again, we're going back to that conversation that Nabi Musa alayhi salam has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah has revealed to him and Allah tells him that you're tasked with this mission, that you need to go up against Fir'aun. Let's look at what Nabi Musa alayhi salam says. He says that, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي, this is verse number 33, Surah Qasas 28. قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي قَتَلْتُ مِنْهُمْ نَفْسًا فَأَخَافُ أَنْ يَقْتُلُونَ. Oh Allah, I killed one of their people and I'm scared. I'm scared that they're going to kill me. But then he suggests something to God. He suggests a way to overcome this fear. He says, وَأَخِي هَارُونَ هُوَ أَفْصَحُ مِنِّي لِسَانًا فَأَرْسِلْهُ مَعِي رِدْ أَنْ يُصَدِّقُنِي إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَنْ يُكَذِّبُونَ. He says, oh Allah, I'm going to take this task. I'm going to do it the best that I can do. But I need some help. And I need something that's going to help me overcome this fear that I have. What is that? It's in the form of my brother. My brother is going to help me. He has some skills that I don't have. He's more eloquent than me. And then he can come and be a helper to me. Ridan meaning he can be like a cover for me. He'll cover me. He'll be a help to me. Yusaddiquni. Whatever I say, he's going to be there and stand up for me. Inni akhafu an yukadhibun, because I'm concerned, I'm scared that they're going to deny what I have to say. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds. He says that qala sanashuddu adudaka ya bi akhika. We're going to help you. We're going to strengthen your arm by means of your brother. And when we read these verses, brothers and sisters, what we get from this is that as we face a climate of fear, whatever type of fear it may be, then we can seize upon the example of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. He recognizes that there are others who are there who can help him and be a source of strength to him, who can give him hope in the face of the enemy, who can give him solace when there comes time where other people become fearful. And that's his brother in faith. His brother, this was his real brother. But we can take this inspiration and say that one of the sources we have that's valid, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supports us. He says that no, we will send him and we'll task him with us as well too. One of the sources we have is to depend upon is our brothers and sisters and our community. In times of difficulty, even in other times as well too, we cannot underestimate the power of being with the community and of taking that as a source of inspiration, as a source of overcoming those shortcomings that we have and being united and doing the responsibility of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on us to spread the truth and conquer what's false. That's why the final thing I'd like to end with is that itself. The importance of the community, brothers and sisters. We see it here, but it's something that makes sense. That if we wish to be successful, we need to continue and keep up that spirit and that same energy. Sometimes shaitan comes and he tells us in various ways that, you know what, stay away. They moved into a temporary location, it's smaller, there's not as much hall space as there used to be. We miss the dining room, okay? We miss the smoothness of being able to go from one program to another without putting on our shoes. Let's just stay home today. We'll take things easy. Or another type of thing, that I've been there for so many years, let somebody else come and step up, you know, I'm taking a vacation. Or other things, that I have other stuff going on, you know, I'm not taking too much from the English speech, let me just, one day I'll just go and listen to something online sometime. But right now I'm doing something else. Whatever it may be. We cannot, brothers and sisters, underestimate the power of the community, the amount of importance we have to give to being part of a community, especially in these times and ages. It's extremely useful, extremely important. And therefore, I encourage all of us to do the best we can do to support the community, to attend the programs, not just in the month of Ramadan, but at all times, to see what can we do, given the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, given that free time that we have, what can we do in a positive way to see how we can create the best possible community. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us in understanding that fear that we ought to have, and practice that, which is fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear of our deeds, and to give us hope also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of His mercy will bestow upon us His blessings and His love, and it gives us the power to resist fear which is unnecessary, fear that keeps us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me just end by quoting the verse from the Quran, which says that Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, that if we wish to achieve that feeling of peace, that feeling of contentment, no fear, confidence in what we do, then there is only one way, which is bi dhikrillah. Allah bi dhikrillah. Be aware that with the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, the hearts will find rest. What is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's by taking those things that we fear and we hope for in the hereafter and putting them into practice. If we really believe in these things, then we have to put them into practice. And then we'll see the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come, and that feeling of confidence come that allows us and enables us to do our duty. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Salam.